One of the more extraordinary pieces of music we adore is the song Just a Gigolo, an Austrian tango from 1928 that was transformed into a jazz standard that echoes the melancholy feeling of being trapped in a lousy job without love or respect. In 1946, Louis Prima juiced up the song by melding it with an old blues tune, I Ain't Got No Body, turning it into a big hit for his Vegas act. The song was later transformed again in 1978 into a feature film, also titled Just a Gigolo, starring David Bowie, that bombed at the box office, but gave new life to the song when the Village People covered it for the movie's soundtrack.
Then David Lee Roth used the song to lampoon MTV in 1985 in the middle of a heated fight with his band Van Halen, with a music video featuring drag queens, sexy women, and Diamond Dave doing a strip tease for a Catholic priest who dies from a heart attack. Today we give a shout out to all the hardworking men and women of the world's oldest profession by taking a look at the song Just a Gigolo as it evolved through the past 8 decades.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Today's show is a labor of love from your two favorite podcasters. To listen to all the songs featured on today's episode, visit our website, feastoffun.com.
I'm just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Pay for every dance, selling each romance. Ooh, what to say? But there will come a day when youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know there's no just a gigolo. Life goes on without me. I'm just a gigolo. Without me, 'cause
David Lee Roth, the song Just a Gigolo, I Ain't Got No Body, from his album Crazy from the Heat, which was released the summer of 1985, weeks before he and David and the rest of the band, Van Halen, broke up.
Oh, really? It was like their final song?
The band had taken a hiatus, and David Lee Roth put it upon himself to put out an album, a solo project, of all his favorite quirky songs he listened to growing up as a kid in California. It was the rise of the thrift stores in the 1980s. And you had all these people discovering all these old little treasures. And the radio stations, like Dr. Demento, would play these weird, quirky songs from the past, making kitsch culture a really big thing. And so David Lee Roth, when he finally had his chance to express himself fully, he made these crazy videos with a lot of hot chicks and freaks and clowns and people in costume dazzling and parodying MTV. It was a really like wonderful thing that me and my sister would stay up late at night just to watch.
Well, also too, it kind of speaks to that whole song and that genre speaks to him being the front man for this band, and he probably felt like he was like whoring himself out. And yeah. So he's just like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going to always be remembered for. No matter what else he does, I could drive an ambulance, which he did.
He became a paramedic.
You know, yeah, he became a paramedic. I could do all these things. I could be dad. I could be, you know,
he could
wife,
be
husband.
A martial arts expert, yeah, which he then later became as well.
But he'll always be remembered as David Lee Roth.
A gigolo.
Yeah, a gigolo. A hired gun for the band Van Halen.
And I don't know that we can show this in an audio podcast, but we're having all the links to all the videos on our website, feastoffun.com. So today we're taking you guys through a journey through time in a magic time machine. We're going to take us back 100 years
Almost 100 years.
Over 87
years. So, yeah.
87.
But, and also, too, well, the original song, Just a Gigolo, is based on an Austrian song. It was a tango, which is kind of interesting because I didn't even know Austrians have tangos. But I guess it kind of makes sense because there was that kind of Austro-Hungarian, Spanish influence kind of, because I guess the Austrians used to rule Spain, so...
And wasn't a tango like originally a dance between two men? But anyways, before we go back in time, though, I want to talk about David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth was, and probably to this day, was one of the most extraordinary performers. So you had the Van Halen brothers, Michael Anthony on the bass, and David Lee Roth, Diamond Dave, this gymnast, good-looking, sexually ambiguous guy from Southern California who was a real electric performer. And he loved to perform in front of an audience. He was the rock and sex, drugs, and rock and roll personified. Meanwhile, Eddie Van Halen, who was this amazing guitarist, probably one of the greatest guitarists of all time, was very introverted, and he infamously known for turning his back to the audience. But of course, he was just amazing on the guitar and on the keyboard, so people didn't mind. Eddie Van Halen got into trouble with the rest of the band because he decided to help his friend, Michael Jackson, playing guitar, a guitar solo in the song Beat It.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Just beat it, beat it, beat it. Ooh. That didn't go over too well with the rest of the members of Van Halen, especially David Lee Roth, who felt very much controlled. He was like a whore, a gigolo, by the band and felt very trapped by them. So he made this music video, Just a Gigolo. Let me just kind of describe it to you guys, okay? So he plays a frustrated video television jockey on Dave TV who hates that he's become a megastar and feels restricted by his circumstances. If he could do the perfect music video, he'd do it just like this. And the music starts, and he proceeds to wander into a TV studio hallway full of freaks and geeks and chicks and drag queens and all sorts of wild, wild, woolly creatures. And among those creatures is Michael Jackson and Cyndi Lauper and Willie Nelson. And he's stumbling into the taping of their music videos. And he's not welcomed by the celebrities. They're all like angry or frustrated or confused. And
Even Boy George pushes them off the set. Well, after he takes his shirt off,
he rips his shirt off and starts smelling his man musk, which David Lee Roth, in that time period, he could have been like, "Ooh, a gay man." He just goes, "Hey, man, it's such a crazy world that I live in. It's like sometimes a dude's going to suck your dick. It's cool. It's cool." So for no reason at all, he's kind of like stumbling through all these music videos. And then what's interesting is then the middle of the music video of his music video, he stumbles upon a censorship board and jumps on top of their desk and starts doing a striptease for the censors, which includes a Catholic priest. Diamond Dave is so wild, he gives the man a heart attack, and his bimbo nurse and a crazy coked out doctor are unable to resuscitate the man back to life.
Because he's so goddamn sexy.
He's too wild. David Lee Roth is so wild. And that's, where David Lee Roth's music career kind of ended.
Did he do anything after that? Well, he got back together with Van Halen for a little bit.
About 20 years later.
I need more money.
Yeah. Hey, man, I need more money.
Well, when that song came out, I mean, people absolutely loved it, but it was kind of a real departure for them. And people were kind of like scratching their heads going, what the fuck is this about?
It was a departure for David Lee Roth, but it was very clear that this was not Van Halen.
Yeah,
and Van Halen was like kind of breathing a sigh of relief. Because they were worried that David's solo departure was going to sound like Van Halen. And so what Van Halen brothers did is they hired Sammy Hagar, who kind of sounded like David Lee Roth, to put out a new music album and infamously used the song Right Now to sell clear Pepsi.
Hey, somebody's got to get paid.
You remember that clear Pepsi? That I was remember a clear disaster. Pepsi.
I was kind of, we bought clear Pepsi. I remember because you were fascinated by it. You were like, why is it clear?
Well, it was because like clear sodas were healthy.
It was racist.
No, it was not racist. It was racist. Like, it was meant to be like, hey, this is a soda free of preservatives
caramel
and
coloring
and, you know, flavors. This is just the way nature intended it to be. If nature was a corporate chemist. So let's go back in time to a time right after World War I in Vienna, Austria.
Well, in 1924, Julius Brammer wrote a poem called Schöner Gigolo, Armer Gigolo, which means beautiful gigolo, poor gigolo. And then in 1928, Leonello Kasuki turned it into a song covered by Dagos Bella. And so the poem is about a guy who comes back from the war and he's used to parading around in these beautiful uniforms and people had a lot of respect for him. You know, he fought for his country. He did a lot for it. But then, you know, his country was devastated. And afterwards, you know, there's no job. He's broke. All of his compatriots, like so many people died. Mm-hmm. They called it the Great War because they thought it was like the war to end all wars. And that's why they don't really, you know, up until they don't call it World War One until after World War II happened.
Well, and so World War One initially was called the Great War.
And so people were devastated. They said there was a whole lost generation. That's what they call it, the lost generation, because so many people were just gone. The war was devastating. And if you ever see like the battlefields that they had in Europe, people were angry at this war too, because they'd have this fighting between these two sides. And it was like they'd be fighting over like 50 feet of earth, and other like hundreds of people, thousands of people would die in these trenches. And so it was devastating, and it left a lot of widows. And there was a lot of rich women that traveled to Europe. They went on something that was called the Grand Tour. And so they'd go.
So hold on a second. So these rich women, their husbands died in the war.
Their husbands died at the war, or they were older women and they were, you know, they were widowed, or they left the husband at home to take care of the business or the factory, and they'd take their daughters on the Grand Tour, or the aunts would take their daughters.
Sure.
And you'd see this a lot in old movies, like these women just kind of traveling together.
And so romantic comedies.
Yeah.
You're so wonderful and crazy.
And they'd see all the sights. They'd go to Paris, they'd go to Rome, they'd go to Vienna. And they'd go to these hotels, and the hotels would have these balls, but of course they had no men. And so these men would go and work there, and the women would pay them to dance. And it was perfectly acceptable. It was respectable. And even like there's, you know, etiquette all surrounding around it. And even Amy Vanderbilt wrote in her new complete book of etiquette. And I'll give you a little taste.
She was like the Miss Manners of her time.
She was the Miss Manners of her times. And she wrote like a book that was like 700 pages. And as our friend,
thousands of rules.
Yeah, thousands of rules. And you're like, how could you live by all these rules? And apparently, I don't think she could really live by them either, because she eventually threw herself out of a window. Or she may have fallen out of a window. We don't know.
Oh, so she died under mysterious circumstances.
She did, yeah. And our friend Robin Pinocchio did a blog entry about it, and I'll link to it. And we actually talked to her about it on the podcast before. But I'll read you a little bit from the book. It says, in many large continental hotels, paid dancing partners are frequently on duty at tea time and dinner where there is a dance orchestra. These gentlemen, who do not care for the word gigolo, but even though they are gigolos, usually move discreetly among the tables, seeking partners for a small fee. For unaccompanied women, to employ these dancing partners in public places is correct. But for them to put the arrangement on any kind of personal plane is begging for trouble. It is no shame to employ a dancing partner abroad. The most conservative women do it. But everyone knows on what basis such a man is in a woman's company, and it is ridiculous to pretend he is anything more than he is.
Schöner Gigolo, armer Gigolo, denke nicht mehr an die Zeiten, wo du als Husar Gold verschmiert sogar, konntest noch die Straßen reiten. Uniform passé, Liebchen sagt adieu, schöne Welt, du gingst in Franzen. Wenn das Herz dir auch bricht, zeigt ein lachendes Gesicht, man zahlt und du musst tanzen.
That is Dagos Bella with the song Schöner Gigolo.
Mm.
And you might wonder, why was the, you know, back in those days, why was the intros to all these songs so long? And it was because people typically danced to them, and so you had enough time to find your partner before the vocals started.
Yeah, because you wanted to be there for when that happened.
So it was like, and people were gossiping and talking really loud and drinking at a party, and you sort of had to have enough time to grab your
partner. And probably also, too, a lot of these things were sung live, and so you wanted to give the singer time to catch his breath, and so you'd go from there.
Now, music kind of changed right around this time period when, you know, the golden age of Hollywood started to develop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of entertainment went from being live and interpersonal and went to becoming mass media, consumed over the radio and in movie theaters. And one pioneer in this golden age of Hollywood was actor and singer Bing Crosby, who had a very popular radio show. And at that time period, Bing Crosby detested having to do his show twice a day.
Oh, for the East Coast and the West Coast here in the United States.
And he, you know, he'd been in Hollywood. He was living in California. He was like, I'm used to doing it all on tape. Why can't I not do live radio pre-recorded? How are they going to know the difference? But the radio stations at the time said, listen, the quality of the audio when you record it is just not the same as it is live. So Bing Crosby went and invested in a company and became Crosby Enterprises.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And really was a pioneer in turning... basically transforming the way music was consumed and also trimming the introduction to songs. And so a lot of his music was very much more efficient for the radio because you weren't dancing to it. You were sitting down in your living room listening to it.
And I'm sure he raked in the bucks then, because if he had a recording of it, you could just be like, just play this anytime.
Yeah. And so Bing Crosby was kind of in a unique situation where he was just putting out content like us, like podcasters, you know. He was just, he was doing movies and radio shows and putting out record albums up the wazoo. And so he hired a songwriter, Irving Caesar, to take this old world song and turn it into the English version. And instead of Germany, have it take place in Paris, which made it sound very, very gay.
Well, Germany was still the enemy, though, in many respects. So you're like, let's make it so the guy's a little more sympathetic.
Was in a Paris cafe, at first I found him. He was a Frenchman, a hero of the war. But war was over, and here's how peace had crowned him. A few cheap medals to wear and nothing more. Now every night, in this same cafe he shows up. And as he strolls by, ladies hear him say, if you admire me, a gigolo knew a better day. Just a gigolo everywhere I go. People know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Every night some heart betrays. There will come a day, youth will pass away. Then what will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo as life goes on without me.
That's Bing Crosby singing Just a Gigolo, the first English version.
You know, and it's kind of interesting, too, because you see this version. They don't really use this version much anymore. Yeah. But you see, this song is really, because it was done in 1931, is people were still itching from that war. And if you look at the lyrics, they were hurting from it. And so if you here, I'll go through the lyrics for you. Was it a Paris cafe that I first found him? He was a Frenchman, a hero of the war. But war was over, and here's how peace had crowned him. A few cheap medals to wear and nothing more. And it's like, after World War II, you know, people that were in the war were considered heroes. But here, after World War I, people was like, oh my God, this poor guy. And look, he's got nothing.
So it was like the Vietnam War.
It was more like
there were pariahs.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that they were pariahs. You were just like, you felt bad for them because like they have some trinkets to wear. But that war was so senseless. They were the war just seemed like people were fighting over nothing.
And so it was a waste of youth.
Yeah, it was like
a waste of manhood, mm-hmm. a waste of youth. And that's why the song was really resonating with people. And it kind of sitting there, kind of considered like a cover or a song. And then the great Italian-American musician Louis Prima, who was a Vegas, star of Las Vegas, turned it into something fabulous.
Oh yeah, he did some jive and jumping to it.
Mm-hmm. And if you let's actually play the song because it's just so much fun. This is what like everybody pretty much bases the Just a Gigolo on is Louis Prima's medley. Let's listen to it.
Life goes on without me, cause
I ain't got nobody.
Nobody cares for me. There's nobody cares for me.
I'm so sad and lonely.
Sad and lonely, sad and lonely. Want some sweet mama? Come take a chance with me. Cause I ain't so bad. Sweet love song. Oh, love the time. But the bossy but blip up.
I ain't got nobody.
Oh, and there's nobody to kiss for me. There's nobody to kiss for me. Nobody to kiss for me.
Prima with his wife Keely Smith singing backup in his medley, Just a Gigolo, I Ain't Got Nobody.
Yeah, because he really changed that song from that kind of melancholy to it was something fun and exciting, and like people could, you could dance to it.
It was pussy begging music. And and if you watch the video, his wife is having none of it.
They were only married for 9 years, so.
Well, and
she's still alive and well.
She's still alive. Keeley Smith is still with us in this world. I believe she's like almost as old as this song is.
She probably is.
Yeah. So, you know, Louis Prima turned the song into a new standard that so much that everybody always thought that those two songs went together. That was one composition. And I think that's really a testament to a great musician, is to take something that's existing and really transforming it into something bigger and better than the original sum of its parts.
Yeah, and you can kind of see how too, like the Second World War kind of changed the outlook on that. You know, after the World War II, people had a more positive outlook about
really
war. Yeah, because you know the Americans had won and we were investing in Europe and we were gonna, you know, Nazis were done and we're like, this is it,
the bad guys were defeated,
the bad days are over, and so we're gonna work on this. And so it was something to be kind of like celebrated in a way, and to be made fun.
A man and a woman and two kids could get by on the husband's salary.
The nuclear family,
you know. And today it's like it's unheard of one person in a married couple with kids working like that. I mean, it's just a different time periods that we're living in. And so Americans had a lot of hope and optimism and joy at that time period.
So the I Ain't Got No Body part is actually a song that was written in 1916. So it was a ragtime blues song that's been covered by a lot of people. And the full title of it is I Ain't Got No Body and Nobody Cares For Me. So really, it's Just a Gigolo, I Ain't Got Nobody, and Nobody Cares For Me is the, you know, the full song now.
But the full title.
But nowadays, it's usually just a Gigolo, I Ain't Got Nobody. Or I Ain't Got Nobody, it'll turn up things for I'm Just a Gigolo.
And now, I Ain't Got Nobody, Nobody Cares For Me was covered by Bessie Smith,
who was an African-American lesbian, and she was a famous blues singer.
And she's mostly famous for singing the song, Ain't Nobody's Business If I Do. Right, and she's talking about
her sex. Ain't nobody's business if I do.
It's just really talking Lake about her pussy. Sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So let's play Bessie Smith singing, I Ain't Got Nobody and Nobody Cares For Me. David Bowie is a star. He's got lots of successful music, successful films, and he's living in Berlin?
He's living in Berlin with like Iggy Pop. So he's absolutely fascinated with Berlin between the wars. He's palling around with Christopher Isherwood, who wrote a play that Cabaret was based on. And then, of course, you know, Tom Ford recently did that movie, A Single Man, you know, talking about Christopher Isherwood's life being a gay person in Berlin during this time when a lot of actually gay civil rights started in that era.
It's the birthplace of really, I mean, you can talk about Stonewall, but the Western concept of gay identity and gay civil rights really comes from Berlin, from Germany. And
there's a Chicago
in between the wars.
And there's a Chicago connection there, too. A guy here in Chicago went over to Berlin, learned about things, and then he came back here, and he fought for gay rights here in Chicago. And that's why we have a library named after him, Gerber.
Gerber Hart Library.
Yes. Yeah. Hart was a lesbian who was a lawyer who would get guys out of jail for having sex in bathrooms.
And David Bowie, throughout his life, has sometimes identified as bisexual, sometimes gone back into the closet, most famously being caught by his wife, Bianca Jagger, of having sex. Mick Jagger's wife having sex with Mick Jagger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's documented, he's alleged, rumored, and here he is in the thick of it all. And then a friend of him says, you want to be in this movie called Just a Gigolo? And he's like, well, what's in it for me? And he's like, well, you get to meet your idol, Marlene Dietrich.
Ooh, so he says yes to it.
Yes, but
Marlena did not. Marlena was living in Paris at the time, and she did not want to go back to Germany. She had retired. This was actually her last movie, and the only reason why she did it supposedly is because they offered her $250,000 for 2 days of shooting.
At the time period, this was the most expensive film ever made in Germany.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of what they spent on Marlene Dietrich, and the film is just a hot mess.
Oh, it's a hot mess. So he's, you know, just, it's the story of this guy who comes back from the war, and he's broke, and so he meets Marlene Dietrich at this hotel, and she offers him a job as a gigolo.
But because David Bowie and Marlene Dietrich could not be in the same room, when they film this movie, it's very awkwardly edited and acted.
Right. So you see her on one side of the room, and then he's on side the other side of the room. But those are in different rooms, really, because they were never
different rooms.
And that's what kind of puzzles me. It's like, why didn't Bowie go from Germany to France to film that part of the film? You know, I mean, maybe back in the day it was like hard with visas or something like that, because remember, but this is before Europe was unified, but it makes absolutely no sense. And then, so they hang out, she interviews him.
And it's very much like a Skype interview.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's like, so how do you like being, would you like to be a escort?
Oh, you were in the war. Yes, you were in a regiment. She's like, well, I run a certain type of regiment here, a brothel or something like that.
If you will. So let's listen to Marlene Dietrich singing Just a Gigolo in English.
Just a gigolo. People know the part I'm playing, selling every dance, selling each romance, every night some heart betraying. There will come a day, youth will go away. And what will they say about
And thankfully, that's just a little clip. Now, what a real gem from this film is the soundtrack, which for another weird reason, the Village People, who are, I think, have always been sort of in the community, seen as a gay musical act, despite some people not getting the double entendres in songs like the YMCA.
Or the Navy.
Or in the Navy, right? But they were hired to do a cover of the title song, Just a Gigolo, and turn it into a disco hit. And it was.
I'm just a gigolo,
gigolo.
And everywhere I go,
gigolo.
People
gigolo.
Know the part
gigolo.
I'm playing.
Gigolo. Gigolo. Gigolo.
Pay for every dance,
gigolo.
Selling each romance.
Gigolo.
Oh,
gigolo.
What they're saying.
Gigolo. Gigolo. Gigolo.
And there will come a day. You will pass away.
What will they say about me?
When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo.
Life goes on without me. I'm just a gigolo.
Seems kind of weird because it's like this thing is kind of shoehorned into the soundtrack, but it's like disco was everywhere and everybody was doing a disco album, and people are like, how can I shove disco into anything? Like, even Ethel Merman did a disco album.
Well, it's kind of like in the 90s, rap music was really hot, and the movie The Addams Family had a rap song by MC Hammer.
And like, did that even play in the movie at all?
I think Cousin It is driving up and hit the car stereo has a little bit of it.
Okay.
They do what they want to do. The Addams Family.
Because I don't even know if, because Bowie had an actual song on the album too. So, you know, because he was a musician, because I don't think it was in the movie, this song version.
No.
I don't know. If they did it, where was it going to be? Like, maybe
in the title credits.
The title credits at the end or something, you know? Because otherwise it just doesn't flow with the jive of the movie, because the movie takes place in like the 1920s. But the video that you see for the Village People is crazy, because you know it's them in all their costumes, but then the lead singer, the black guy, is like, he's in a fur coat with these babes hanging off him, riding around in a limousine and doing his little scat number, which we have questions about.
Here's the scat number isolated. So that is Victor Willis saying, I'm not sure what he's saying, but
I'll let you interpret that. Yes, play it back a couple of times.
Victor Willis is the name of the black guy in The Village People. Poor Victor Willis, he hated the producer Jacques Morali. And I believe he refused to be in the film starring back then Bruce Jenner, who's now known as Caitlyn Jenner as well.
Oh, what was the name of that film?
Can't Stop the Music.
Can't Stop the Music.
It's a ridiculous movie.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, you know, even David Bowie was like, when he was talking about this movie, because it just really bombed and people hated it. And he was quoted as saying, everybody who was involved in that film, when they meet each other now, they look away. Listen, you were disappointed and you weren't even in it. Imagine how we felt. It was my 32 Elvis Presley movies rolled into one.
Amazing how a good song can be transformed time and time again, generation after generation, through the decades. It went from being this sad song to a happy song to a weird song. And then David Lee Roth, you know, kind of wrapped it up. And I think Peter Allen actually played it in his cabaret song.
He did. And he went back
cabaret
to like,
show.
He went back to the original English version of it, where they talk about like the French guy and his cheap medals. Because he has, also, I think it has kind of like a more gay aesthetic, that version. And of course, Peter Allen is the boy from Oz, and he was certainly gay.
Mark, what do you think why do you think that this song has resonated with so many different types of artists through so many different types of styles and decades?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, originally, I think it had a different appeal in the beginning. It was people had that melancholy feel and they were really resentful of that war. So it really kind of spoke to that feeling. And then, you know, Louis made it fun and he jazzed it up and the Village People made it kind of wild. And David Lee Roth made it wild again.
And it was sort of a celebration of sexuality.
Yeah, of male sexuality and kind of like, you know, selling your sexuality.
Yeah, we sell so many other things, our time and labor.
Right.
But when it comes to sex, it's somehow morally objectionable to sell your sexuality.
Right. Because usually, I guess a lot of like male songs, it's more about like, I'm the man. I'm taking what I want. I'm getting what I want. I'm doing it. And look at all these babes lined up for me. You know, and this is kind of like, I'm just doing this to get through life.
And we all can relate to that.
Especially now when, you know, we've been chewing on this show for months now. And then we're just like, with this Rent Boy scandal happening, we're just like, we got to do it. Now's the time.
Because, honey, as a great philosopher, Crystal Connors, once said, we're all whores, darling. We cash the checks, we take the tips, we show them what they want to see. And with that, we're going to leave you. We want to thank you guys so much for listening to this weird special Just a Gigolo podcast. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. Without your donations and your subscriptions, we would not be able to do this podcast. And what you would hear instead is silence.
Well, probably nothing, because you wouldn't even be listening to anything.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
You'd be in the void.
You'd be listening to I'm Just a Gigolo over and over again, saying, I remember when I used to listen to those two gigolos on the Feast of Fun. You know, the best way to support the podcast is to become a Plus member, and you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. It gives us a nice steady stream, so we know what we can count on, rather than doing like a Kickstarter fundraiser for the podcast. It's nice to be able to budget for the year.
We're going to leave you here with Peter Allen's cover of Just a Gigolo, a contemporary jazz cabaret version of it. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Was in a Paris cafe that first I found him. He was a Frenchman, a hero of the war. But war was over and his harpies had crowned him. A few cheap medals to wear and nothing more. Now every night in that same cafe you'll find him. And as he walks by, the ladies hear him say, if you admire me, please hire me. Frenchman who knew better days. Just a gigolo everywhere I go. People see the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Every night some heart betraying. There'll come a day youth will pass away. Then what will they say about me? When the end comes I know they'll say, just a gigolo as life goes on without me. Just a gigolo everywhere I go. People see the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling cheap romance. Every night some heart betraying. There will come a day youth will pass away. Then what will they say about me? When the end comes I know they'll say, just a gigolo as life goes on.